Several years ago, I had the distinct pleasure of witnessing the baptism of a very dear friend of mine in the Missionary Alliance Church in Georgetown, Ontario. 12 years before that, this friend was one of the teenagers in my very first youth group once I had graduated seminary in the Christian Reformed Church where I served. It was an especially meaningful event in this young man's life because he had lived the prodigal son life. He had left home, he'd gotten involved in the drug culture, and he had only recently come back to be in his parents' home and had come to faith. I was honored to be a witness to that public celebration of God's redemption in his life. And sadly, he passed away rather suddenly, only a short time later. But it was comforting to know that he was a believer. I knew it. The baptism service itself was very simple, and at the same time, it was incredibly interesting. There was no formal sermon, no singing. Each of the people to be baptized shared their testimonies of how God had been working in their lives up to that moment and drawing each of them closer to himself. And after all the testimonies were completed, one by one, they entered into the baptismal pool at the front of the church. It was sort of a specialized form-fitted bathtub. And as they stood waiting to be baptized, friends and family were invited to share scripture verses with them. And after those scripture readings, the person was immersed into the water and raised up from the water again. It was a beautiful experience. There were elements of which I think we could incorporate even into our own traditions, especially the part of sharing scripture with one another as believers. It was very meaningful. And maybe because it was so unique, because it was different than what I was accustomed to, having grown up in the Christian Reformed Church, maybe that's one of the reasons why it was so special to me. Sometimes traditions can become so commonplace that we don't fully appreciate their meaning anymore. So this morning, I want us to look at baptism and examine the traditions of the church in an attempt to understand their meaning better, of what it is that we're celebrating in the sacrament. According to Scripture, baptism has been around since Jesus' time. In fact, before Jesus' time, John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan River, baptizing people into a repentance of the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus instructed his disciples when he left this earth and to ascend into heaven, he said, make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been to the Jordan River. It's not a very pretty sight. I'm not sure that I would want to be baptized in it. It's kind of a filthy place. But there are still thousands of people that travel there to be baptized in the Jordan River. Generally speaking, various Christian denominations celebrate the sacrament of baptism in different ways. And although there are a few denominations that do not celebrate the sacraments of baptism nor the Lord's Supper, many Christians today, many Christian churches today, celebrate what is known as believer's baptism. When a person publicly acknowledges that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, and he is or she is baptized by the church in much the same way as what happened in the reading this morning to the Philippian jailer. He made his profession to Paul and to Silas and was baptized. And while adult baptism is not all that common in the Christian Reformed Church, in the denomination, it's not that it doesn't happen. It sometimes does. In fact, upon occasion, it happens, and there are specific liturgies in the back of our Psalter, hymnals, and other places for us to use. They were developed specifically for adult baptism. Now, those who are part of the church for a long time probably know some people who have been baptized as adults or even as teenagers. But perhaps the simplest reason why it's not all that common in the Christian Reformed Church is because we also celebrate infant baptism. Some denominations do not celebrate infant baptism because they feel that there are no biblical grounds for baptizing children, and that one must have faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross before someone should be baptized. The Bible specifically does not command infant baptism. It doesn't forbid it either. Some people look at the fact that our passage today, that not only the Philippian jailer was baptized, but his entire household was baptized, his family with him. And they see that as evidence that, no, that shows baptism of children and infants. It's impossible for us to know exactly who was in the jailer's family. And we would be jumping to an assumption that there were infant children being baptized there. It's not a careful use of Scripture. So then why do we baptize infants? Why do we baptize children if they have no understanding of what's going on in the sacrament? Why would we bother? It's highly doubtful they're going to remember the event. I certainly don't remember my baptism. I think I was only a week or two old. Infant baptism has been part of the church for many, many years. There are historical records of the practice of baptism dating back to AD 253, where there was an argument not whether or not they should baptize infants, but whether or not to wait 8 days after the child's birth to baptize, because the Old Testament tradition of circumcision was that after 8 days. Celebrating baptism has to do with the promises that God extends and the meaning of the sacrament of baptism. It's not simply celebrating the birth of a child. It's also not celebrating the faith of the individual. Let's look at a few other things about baptism. It's not magic. Nothing magical or miraculous happens when someone is baptized. Doesn't matter what their age is. The water is not special water. Comes just straight out of the tap. Many years ago, I knew of a couple that actually drew their water from the Jordan River because they wanted their children to be baptized in the Jordan. I don't know. There's nothing holy about the Jordan River water. It's nothing unique about it other than it's really gross. It's the dirtiest water, almost as bad as the Thames River. Maybe the most startling thing about the water we used this morning is it was lukewarm. Probably so you wouldn't have a child screaming when they get doused with cold water. Hugh Cook, he was a professor at Redeemer College a number of years ago, wrote a short story about a young man who had grown up in a Baptist church. He had run away from home. He joined the carnival, and as the story goes, he didn't want to face the pressures from his family and from his pastor to follow any sort of faith commitment. The pastor kept telling him, "Oh, I'll be waiting to baptize you, whether you're ready or not." A year or more later, the carnival came around, and the young man's home, and he had joined that carnival, and Pastor Levi was waiting for him. And after paying his quarter to play the game, it only took one of the baseballs to hit the target to drop the seat out from underneath the young man who by this time had been promoted to working in the dunk tank. When he came up from the water, he heard the pastor saying, "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen." The story is really well written and even a little humorous. It strikes me as being a bit of an odd sort of baptism story. It gives the impression that the pastor thought that there was something magical in that baptism, and that suddenly, because he had baptized this teenager, he would somehow come to know Christ as his Lord. I suspect this story is complete fiction. And I suspect, at least I hope, that there are no pastors who would go through such great lengths to baptize someone. But baptism isn't a miraculous spiritual healing that occurs as the person touches the water, as was the expectation in the Pool of Siloam. Do you remember that story from John chapter 5? The very next person to get into the water, some angel had come down and touched the water to stir it, and the next person in would be healed. It's not like that. That suddenly all of our sins of the person are forgiven and just because they're baptized. Nothing miraculous, nothing magical happens. In fact, many parents can painfully tell you that baptism is not a guarantee that the child who is baptized will become a Christian. It doesn't even guarantee anything if you're baptized as an adult. In our Reformed tradition, we celebrate infant baptism. But I wonder if people understand the significance, the meaning of it. Baptism is the symbol that points us to Jesus. It points us to the work that Jesus has done. When we speak of baptism in our worship, we talk about the washing away of sin that is represented in the water of baptism. In the occasions when the person is immersed in water, when they're literally dunked into the water as an adult perhaps, and the imagery is startling. The dying away to the old self and the rising to life of the new. It's a powerful symbol. And I've had the pleasure of using that symbol in baptism in Blenheim. It was a wonderful experience. In either case, when we celebrate baptism, we are celebrating the work of Jesus and the promises of forgiveness and the new life that we have in Him. And whether we speak of baptism in terms of immersion or sprinkling, the fact of the matter is it's simply a symbol of what Jesus has done. It's not about what the individual believes. It's not even about that the individual is a Christian or not. Baptism is a celebration of what God has done in Jesus Christ. Namely, that God has sent His Son, Jesus, into this world to pay for our sin. God offers grace to those who don't deserve it, including the individuals who are being baptized. The sacrament gives glory to God. And when we make the baptism about the individual being baptized, when we're turning it into idolatry when we do that. We've begun to worship the sacrament instead of worshiping God. Baptism of children and adults and infants is based on the promises of God to His people. In the Old Testament, the people of God, through Abraham, were told to circumcise their children as a symbol of the covenant that God had established with them and with their descendants. And over time, that ritual of circumcision for the Israelites had become the important thing. And unfortunately, the promise of the relationship between God and His people was long forgotten. The symbol intent The symbol's intent was to remind people of the promise of God. It was to them and to their children. And that was forgotten, and it became idolatry. It became nothing more than ritual. And in Romans 2, Paul reminds the Jews in Rome, of that circumcision is not simply physical. It's more of a heart issue than a physical symbol. They'd forgotten the meaning of the symbol. They'd forgotten the relationship based on the grace of God that that symbol represented. And in the same way, baptism is a symbol and a celebration of God's promise of grace, a symbol of this new covenant, a new promise between God and His people and their descendants. Acts chapter 2, Peter tells those who ask what they need to do to be saved. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." If the promise of God to offer grace of forgiveness to His people is what baptism celebrates, then it would seem natural that children should be baptized. The promise of God is extended to them as well, and it's especially to the children of believing parents. Baptism is also an act of celebration as a community of believers. We are the community of faith, and we're celebrating the sacrament of baptism anytime, really. Anytime anyone is baptized, we celebrate. That's why the baptism is celebrated in a worship service and not at a family barbecue somewhere. It's celebrated in faith. And upon occasion, people will ask me, "Well, why are we only baptized once? If it's a sacrament like the Lord's Supper, why don't we get baptized more often?" And the simplest answer is that we're not commanded to baptize more frequently in the Bible. It's clear that the intent of the Lord's Supper is that we use it as a celebration that's to be repeated. "As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." But in another sense, we do celebrate baptism more than once. Every time someone is baptized, we are reminded again of the promise that God extends to us, because we are celebrating the sacrament as a community. The celebration of baptism is to see God's call to the church, that we as the community of believers are called a body of people who are responding in faith to the Spirit's call in our lives. God does not call us as individual Christians, each of us to live separate lives apart from one another. He calls us to be the body, one family. We're called to hold one another accountable, to teach one another, to train up one another, and to disciple one another. As part of our vows to each other in baptism, we promise to teach our children about the love that God has for them. And so fundamentally, those churches that practice infant baptism are focused on the celebration of what God has done. And it isn't exactly what grace is. It's all about what God has done. It's not the grace in that person's life that we're celebrating. It's the grace that God offers. In the Reformed tradition, we celebrate the promises of God to have a relationship with us and to wash away our sins if and when we respond in faith to the prompting of His Spirit. We joyfully believe that God has made His promises to generations of His people in the Old Testament through the symbol of circumcision, so that that also extends those promises to our children as well in the symbol of baptism. In most churches which celebrate believer baptism only, the celebration really focuses on the commitment of faith of the individual has made to those promises of God. And where I tend to have difficulty is when one tradition refuses to acknowledge another. When one Christian church turns around and says, oh no, your baptism, that's not good enough. Are we not all one body in Christ? Are we not all recognizing the saving work of Christ? The forgiveness of sins, the sanctification of believers through the Holy Spirit? It's difficult to say whether one tradition is better or worse than another. Is one more fitting than another? I don't know. Each has their own special moments. I appreciate the focus of the Reformed traditions. Focus on God and on His promises to us. But then, that's what I grew up with. That's been my focus, my tradition since childhood. Other churches have other traditions. And at the same time, I'm not about to condemn anyone who celebrates believer baptism. But I'm more than happy to joyfully celebrate with them as a fellow believer in the promises of God. And I hope that is where we all are, that we are celebrating the promises of God. Amen.